The sooner you can build a connection between your new customers and your current customers, the stronger those bonds will be and the longer they will last. Don't peak too early. While creating memorable experiences for a new customer in the admit phase is important, and matching the new customer's level of enthusiasm is a great way to build rapport, the experience a business creates at this stage shouldn't be the pinnacle of the relationship. Depending on your product or service, you want to be careful not to over-celebrate too early. Just like in dating, you don't want to peak too soon. If on the first date you offer to fly your companion to Paris for a romantic dinner, you're almost certainly going to scare them off. Instead of presenting yourself as a romantic, you end up exuding an aroma of desperation. It's just too much, too soon, too fast. The admit phase works in a similar way. You want to match and maybe slightly exceed the joy, euphoria, and excitement the prospect is feeling. However, you do not want to reveal all your tricks this early in the relationship. Creating excitement to match the thrill of a child getting a new stuffed animal or a custom-built toy race car is a parallel matching of the emotional experience of both parties. Anyone who has witnessed a child receiving a new toy knows you must work overtime to match their level of enthusiasm. In the business world, where emotions are traditionally more subdued, it can be dangerous to be overly excited this early in the relationship. A gigantic party with balloons, dancers, and a DJ to celebrate signing up for a new car insurance policy would be the wrong message to send on so many levels. Businesses must pay attention to the circumstances surrounding the buy decision and should create a celebration that fits the moment and the customer. Mark the decision that occurs in the admit phase, make a memory, and celebrate it accordingly. But don't go overboard. Summary. Phase 2, admit. Creating remarkable customer experiences in the admit phase. The prospect enters the admit phase of the customer journey by giving you their hard-earned money. They admit they have a problem that they believe you can solve, or a need they think you can fulfill. At this point in the life cycle, the customer feels a sense of hope and possibility for the promised results of your product and/or service offering. A chemical reaction in the brain affirms the choice with a dopamine release, producing an energy high that may or may not be perceptible to the customer who made the decision. The admit phase of the customer life cycle gives you the chance to capitalize on the euphoria caused by the purchase and exceed expectations the instant the new relationship begins. 6 things to do in the admit phase starting tomorrow. I'm going to cover all 6 communication tools again, but you don't have to use all of them. Just challenge yourself to even consider what it would be like to use each of these tools in the admit phase and see what ideas that generates. In person. In-person celebrations offer a fantastic opportunity to connect during the admit phase. The energetic exchange of an interaction with a person who is genuinely excited about working together and thankful for the opportunity to do so starts the relationship on a positive note. Chapter example. Whether celebrating the adoption of a stuffed animal, like Build-A-Bear, showing off a customized toy race car, like Ridemakers, wrapping an unsuspecting new initiate in green cellophane, like Maverick 1000, taking a celebratory photograph, like Tony Robbins, or kidnapping the newest member of your tribe, as happened with the Notre Dame Glee Club, creating in-person rituals marks the significance of the decision to do business together. Email. An email that is personalized and signed by the entire team, as opposed to a stock thank you, allows you to thank the customer for their purchase and for their trust. This communication reinforces the company's core values, brand voice, and overall spirit by using unique and focused language. Chapter example. Sending a memento after the fact, as Tony Robbins did, transports the recipient back to the moment they made the decision to work together and the excitement they felt around the choice. Mail. A personalized handwritten thank you note sent the same day the order is placed offers yet another surprise interaction for a new customer. Because most businesses never thank new customers, let alone in writing, a mailed piece further distinguishes your brand from the competition. Chapter example. Creative packaging adorned with playful messages, like those sent by Zajix, makes receiving a purchased item an experience in itself. Showcasing your story and company culture early in the relationship begins to build rapport and affinity from the first delivery. Phone. Individual thank you calls within 24 hours of a purchase differentiate your brand from almost every business. A call offers the opportunity to acknowledge the purchase, thank the customer for their trust, and answer any additional questions they may have. A high-energy, short voicemail message creates a great touchpoint as well. Video. A short, "Welcome to our family" video from the team can be sent to new customers shortly after their purchase. Ideally, this video has a very homemade feel, is customized for the specific customer, and captures the gratitude for the opportunity to work together. It should also exude excitement about the relationship ahead. Chapter example. A personalized thank you for your order video, like the one sent by Zajix, where the thumbnail image reveals the name of the individual customer, all but guarantees the new customer will watch the video and join in the celebration of the new relationship. Present. An unexpected treat to start things off on the right foot is always well received. Coupons for future purchases and company-branded promotional products are not gifts, at least not for the customer. Instead, focus on a thoughtful symbol of appreciation that has a perceived value corresponding to the perceived lifetime value of the relationship. Chapter example. Sending a photo, like Tony Robbins did, capturing the decision to work together serves as an ongoing reminder of the commitment to the relationship. Unexpected treats and bonuses, like those sent by Zajix, bring a smile to a new customer's face. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the admit phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. You did a great job answering these in the last chapter, right? Wait, you skipped it? Oh, please go back and answer them quickly. Then come back here and answer these questions. Oh, I know, you plan to answer them at the end. No, please answer them now, so the learning really takes hold and you have a clear plan for implementation of each phase in the customer journey. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better if you did this evaluation 6 months from now. Number one. What happens when the prospect takes action to become a customer? Hint, this is probably when they hand over money or sign a contract to work together, or something similar to those activities. Number two, describe in detail what happens at the moment of the sale. How long does this time period last? What does it feel like? What does the customer need to do to make it official? What do you do in this moment? Number three, in your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the admit phase? If so, what are they? Number four, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the admit phase? Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with two or three ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. I've said it before, but please don't worry about how much it will cost, who will do it, or how to get it implemented in your organization. Keep dreaming big and being creative with your ideas. Number one, how can you use in-person interactions during this phase to get the relationship started on the right foot? Number two, how can you use emails to let the customer know you're excited to work with them and eager to get started? Number three, how can a customized mail piece memorialize this transition from prospect to customer? Number four, how can a phone conversation create connection with this new customer? Number five, how can videos draw the new customer in and mark the moment when they transitioned from prospect to customer? Number six, what present or presents could you give these customers to memorialize the occasion? Pick one now. If you've answered the questions, I hope you're 2 for 2 now on completing these end of chapter questions. You have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the admit phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number one, what is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the admit phase even better? Number two, who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number three, how would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number four, how would you measure the impact of the improvement on the overall customer experience? Number five, how would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From admit to affirm. Now that the prospect is officially a customer and has volunteered in the admit phase that they have a problem or need, it's time to affirm their choice to work with you. Chapter 10, Phase 3, Affirm. Here's the overview of the affirm phase. After experiencing the emotional high of the admit phase, customers move into the affirm phase, and their emotional state can take a dramatic turn. This phase is commonly known as buyer's remorse. The customer likely feels fear, doubt, and uncertainty about the decision they just made, and the business must take steps to assuage those feelings. Introduce Bob when you propose, not on the wedding night. For companies that operate in both online and offline interactions, keeping customer confidence high as things shift back and forth between the two communication mediums is imperative. The Canadian company, Total Debt Freedom, straddles the space between online and offline interactions in a way that builds confidence in their service and clarity in their process. By placing a high value on smooth handoffs between the salesperson and the account manager, and by connecting on a personal and emotional level that recognizes the customer as a human being instead of a number, an uncommon act in the world of debt and finance, Total Debt Freedom delivers a customer experience unfamiliar in its industry. Based in Toronto and founded in 2004, Total Debt Freedom offers three ways to help Canadians deal with their personal debt: through do-it-yourself debt settlement, debt and finance coaching, and guidance in seeking legal counsel. The team at Total Debt Freedom helps customers go from a state of stress and uncertainty to a place of financial stability and security. Because the team at Total Debt Freedom doesn't have the opportunity for in-person interactions that other organizations might have, they created a process for easing a new customer's fears. Once a prospect expresses interest in Total Debt Freedom's services, a sales representative schedules a call with the customer. The discussion focuses on identifying and clarifying the customer's needs, wants, desires, and expectations for the relationship, while outlining the service offerings that would help the prospect achieve their goals. Immediately after concluding a successful sales pitch call, the sales representative walks from one end of the office to the other and shoots a handheld selfie video with the account manager who will be responsible for handling the new customer going forward. The video conversation goes something like this. "Hey, Frank. My name is Bryce, and I'm the guy that's been taking care of you the last 2 weeks to get you signed up for our debt settlement program. I'm here with my friend Joel, and he's going to be your client care representative. He's been doing this for 7 years now, and is going to be working with you for the next 4 years, or less, depending on the speed of your progress. You save your money, and we'll be able to get you out of debt sooner, buddy. I know you're ready to take action on this. You're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, and you want to get out of some of the bad debt you have so you can afford that dream house you want to buy for your family in the future. Joel, what are your digits?" Joel then shares his office number, his cell phone number, and his personal email, all of which appear on the video screen while he's speaking. He concludes by saying that he looks forward to speaking with Frank soon and working with him to help get him out of debt. Bryce then concludes the video. "Now, right behind us here, Frank, you can see we have our raving fan wall with lots of signatures from our happy clients. Hopefully, one day you'll get in here and sign the wall as well. Our goal in the coming months or years is to provide such an incredible experience for you that you're proud and eager to sign the wall. Take care, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye." The interactive video provides concrete evidence that the customer's concerns have been shared. This smooth handoff allows the salesperson to repeat the expectations of the new customer and personally introduce the customer to the account manager who will be in charge of the experience from then on. The level of enthusiasm and confidence expressed by both the salesperson and the account manager confirms that the customer will be well taken care of throughout the process. Before any work has even begun, the new customer's decision to work with Total Debt Freedom is affirmed, and the customer moves through any feelings of buyer's remorse very quickly. To understand just how important this handoff is, consider a key relationship from your personal life. Imagine meeting someone and thinking, "I'd like to get to know this person better." You go on some dates, meet the friends and family, and next thing you know, you're down on one knee asking this person to enter into a long-term relationship with you. To your delight, the person agrees, and you begin planning a formal celebration of your new relationship. You gather all of your friends and family, publicly profess your commitment to each other, and after the celebration, head to the newlywed suite. Imagine what would happen if you opened the door to find someone standing in the room. Imagine what would happen if you said to your new spouse, "My love, this is Bob. I know you've never met him before, but he'll be taking care of you from now on. I need to go find someone else to chase." No sane person would ever do this to their spouse, and yet this is how most businesses treat their customers. The salesperson does all the courting, makes sure the agreement is finalized, and may even celebrate the new relationship. But then the customer is handed off to account representative Bob after the celebration is over. Bob wasn't on any of the dates. Bob wasn't at the dinners. Bob didn't hear any of your hopes and dreams. Is it any wonder that this typical handoff is so jarring to our new customers? Here's a pro tip. If you wouldn't do it in your personal life, why do you think it's acceptable to do this in your professional life? Here's my quick takeaway. Most customers assume, rightfully so, that the handoff between the salesperson and the account manager will fall somewhere in between shaky and horrible. By designing your business to include a smooth handoff, you can significantly improve customer confidence. Affirming the purchase decision with a transparent, clear, and effortless transition between the salesperson and the account manager showcases extra care and attention to detail, creating a positive customer experience in the process. It's all fun and games until someone starts to question their choices. Despite the fact that a new customer assesses the options, admits there is a problem or need, and then decides to make a purchase, the customer can often doubt the decision they just made. The severity of the doubt can vary dramatically, but even when a customer seems okay with their decision, subconscious feelings of doubt often remain. the same chemical that produced feelings of euphoria during the emit phase, dopamine, recedes from the brain during this phase, triggering buyer's remorse. It's easier to empathize with customers in this phase if you understand the psychological theory of cognitive dissonance, discomfort resulting from inconsistent thoughts and behaviors. Buyer's remorse is an example of post-decision dissonance. Stressed by their purchase decision and the implications it will have for their resources, customers usually need to take responsibility for making the decision while committing to continue with this course of action. In layman's terms, the buyer has to accept that they made the decision to spend time and money on something that may not provide ongoing value and may end up requiring a long-term commitment. Worst of all, the customer may have selected the wrong product or service from a host of competitors. Following a purchase, the mind starts racing with questions. Did I make the right choice? Or, is this really going to help? Or, is this going to be the answer to my prayers? Or, was I swayed by the salesperson's silver tongue? Or, what if it fails to work? Will I get a refund? Or, what if it's not everything it was promised to be? Or, what if my spouse hates it? Or, is this thing going to make me look like an idiot? Or, is this decision going to get me fired? Uncertainty and regret eat at the new customer, which can slowly destroy any faith or confidence they have, and in turn, their faith and confidence in the company providing the product or service they purchased. As these feelings of doubt flow over the customer, the typical company fails to acknowledge any shift in the customer's emotions. I often think of this phase as the tumbleweed zone, where the communications from the company to the new customer are like an iconic Western movie scene, with empty buildings and a lone tumbleweed blowing across the street. Am I doing this right? Or, where is everyone? Or, why am I all alone in dealing with this situation? The most important thing a business can do to counter feelings of buyer's remorse is to offer ways for a customer to reaffirm their decision as quickly as possible. By reaffirming the customer's decision through a series of positive, high-energy communications, you can counter the chemically induced feelings of doubt. Whether it's a video that reminds the customer they made the right choice, or a case study affirming that your offering can solve their problem, giving evidence of your ability to deliver can serve as a counterbalance to the customer's feelings of doubt and uncertainty. Sure, I've heard of it. But what do I do about it? I must confess that while my research gives me a deep familiarity with the mental and emotional anguish new customers experience in the affirm phase, it does not mean I am immune to experiencing buyer's remorse myself. In fact, I experienced significant buyer's remorse while writing this book. As a busy entrepreneur and speaker, I wanted to write my book in a different way. I knew that sitting down in front of a blank computer screen for hours on end, pounding away on the keyboard, trying to capture the importance of creating remarkable customer experiences, would not be an efficient way for me to produce a book. I'd already attempted to write the manuscript in a more traditional way, and after countless starts and stops, it was clear I needed a different approach. That's when I reached out to my friend Tucker Max. He co-founded a company called Book in a Box, which created a process for writing a book in a non-traditional way. Their process has several parts, but in short, it boils down to the author doing a series of phone-based interviews. As anyone who knows me will attest, I have no problem talking for hours on end. My parents could tell you stories of their child who never stopped talking. Given that I speak professionally for a living, I do my best to live up to my Irish-Scottish grandmother's comment, curse, or admonishment, depending on your perspective, that I have a gift for the gab. Needless to say, talking the book seemed like a good idea. The process is pretty straightforward. First, a professional outliner helps the would-be author create a structure and outline for the book, Then an editor uses the outline as a guide to interview the author about everything the author wants to say in the book. These conversations are then transcribed and edited into the final manuscript, complete with the author's ideas in their words and voice. After signing up to work with Book in a Box, I had a kickoff call with Tucker and my outliner, Mark Chait, a well-known senior editor with past experience at most of the major business book publishers, where we outlined the premise and discussed my goals. We then developed a timeline for creation of the book and started to work on an outline. The admit phase was fantastic. Emotions were high for all parties involved, and we started to dive into the outline on the very first call. But not long after that, I started to doubt myself, and I began to question my decision to write a book. Did I really have a good enough message that could carry an entire book? Would the readers find as much value in the eight-phase process as my clients had over the last 20 years? Would I be able to explain all the nuances of the framework properly in 300 pages? Was I going to make myself look stupid? As these thoughts of fear, doubt, and uncertainty flooded my mind, I grew distant. I started rescheduling planned calls with the team, pushing them off for both real and fabricated reasons alike. I used any excuse I could think of that would allow me to delay the next step in the process. This went on for several months, until one night when my cell phone rang unexpectedly. The caller ID indicated it was Tucker's cell phone, and a quick mental scan of my calendar let me know this was an unexpected call. I decided to answer anyway. Tucker got me to open up, admit that I was having feelings of remorse and regret, and assured me that the emotions I was feeling were natural for any author. He told me a story about how he felt the same way when he released his first major book, which ironically enough went on to be a New York Times bestseller, selling more than 1 million copies worldwide since its release. Tucker helped me see that I did indeed have a book in me, and that he believed it would be valuable to many people. He persuaded me to trust the process, come back into the fold, and continue the work. That is how powerful buyer's remorse is. Even though I deeply understood the perils of the cognitive dissonance that marks the affirm phase, even though I teach this to companies, I could not separate myself from these emotions when I was in that position. Oops, I'm human too. When a business doesn't take the time to build into its system and process ways of countering feelings of fear, doubt, and uncertainty, the new customer often grows distant and eventually leaves the business altogether. Part of the reason I am sharing this story is because the Book in a Box team are avid students of my process, so much so that Tucker was able to spot it easily when I stalled in the affirm phase. Since then, the team has worked very hard to implement specific steps to make sure that they anticipate the emotional journey and help authors avoid falling into an emotional abyss. First, they added a celebration event right after the author signs, where they celebrate with the author, in addition to a set of emails from the entire publishing team congratulating the author on signing with Book in a Box, they send an author care package, which arrives a week or so after the new client signs, and usually right before the first call. This care package contains several fun and playful items, including a handwritten note from the editor working with the author, some celebratory treats, and a bottle of champagne, with specific instructions not to crack it open until the book is launched. The arrival of this package is unexpected and reminds the author that they are in the hands of professionals who won't let the author down. On the very first call with the author, the publisher, who is like an account representative, initiates a conversation about this exact issue. The publisher asks the author how they are feeling, what their doubts and worries are, and then listens to the author explain their feelings. The publisher then does exactly what Tucker did in his call with me. The publisher explains that these feelings are normal, helps the author understand what the emotions mean, and offers suggestions on how to work through these feelings. Not only does the Book in a Box team initiate this conversation early in the process, they refer back to it with the author whenever the author is feeling down or uncertain. Instead of trying to push away the anxiety, Book in a Box uses a potentially negative emotional experience to build the relationship with the author, while also building a foundation of trust in the process. Here's my quick takeaway. Understand and anticipate the customer's emotional journey. One of the best ways to handle shifting emotions is to open the door for the customer to talk about it and address any concerns head on. While having a specific conversation to check in on the customer's emotional state might not be necessary for every business, it's definitely recommended for most businesses, particularly when the purchase is expensive in the customer's frame of reference. Create space for the customer to share feelings and have strategies in place for countering any negative emotions. The email, the Japanese packing specialist, and the gold-lined box. Not all interactions in the affirm phase need to be high touch like the efforts of Book in a Box. It is possible to address customers' feelings of buyer's remorse at scale and in an automated fashion. In 1997, a musician named Derek Sivers created a website to sell his own music that soon evolved into CD Baby Inc., an online music store specializing in the sale of CDs, vinyl records, and music downloads from independent musicians. Sivers infamously listened to every CD he sold on the website, something unheard of at the time and greatly appreciated by the musicians listed on the site. This brought a personal touch to the business that served as a welcome juxtaposition to the more corporate feel of his competitors. As part of the CD Baby sales process, once an order was processed on the website, the customer received an auto-generated email confirming the details of the purchase. At this point in history, e-commerce was very novel. Shopping online was brand new, and Sivers recognized the importance of countering feelings of buyer's remorse, especially in a scenario where the customer interacted with a website, not a person. His goal was to instill confidence in the buyer that a CD was going to be delivered. The original CD Baby email read like this. Your order is shipped today. Please let us know if it doesn't arrive. Thank you for your business. Short, sweet, and to the point. This certainly worked as a confirmation message. The email told the customer that the order had been processed, encouraged them to reach out if there was a problem, and thanked them for the purchase. However, the statement, please let us know if it doesn't arrive, actually increased the customer's fear and uncertainty, even going so far as to hint at a pattern of CDs never arriving. As Sivers noted in a guest post on Tim Ferriss's blog in 2012, after a few months, that confirmation email felt really incongruent with my mission to make people smile. I knew I could do better. According to Sivers, he took 20 minutes and wrote this goofy little thing. Thanks for your order with CD Baby. Your CD has been gently taken from our CD Baby shelves with sterilized, contamination-free gloves and placed onto a satin pillow. A team of 50 employees inspected your CD and polished it to make sure it was in the best possible condition before mailing. Our packing specialist from Japan lit a candle, and a hush fell over the crowd as he put your CD into the finest gold-lined box that money can buy. We all had a wonderful celebration afterwards, and the whole party marched down the street to the post office, where the entire town of Portland waved Bon Voyage to your package, on its way to you in our private CD Baby jet on this day. I hope you had a wonderful time shopping at CD Baby. We sure did. Your picture is on our wall as Customer of the Year. We're all exhausted, but can't wait for you to come back to cdbaby.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The difference between the two order confirmation emails is stark. What began as a transactional communication confirming an online purchase ended up as a hysterical narrative that not only delivered the key message, but surely left the recipient smiling and laughing. When the customer was primed to experience the throes of buyer's remorse, CD Baby came to the conversation with levity and enthusiasm that countered any feelings of doubt. This confirmation email set the standard for best-in-class online companies and has been copied and used as inspiration by dozens, if not hundreds, of e-commerce businesses since then. Sivers made the decision to stop doing the normal thing. He knew he couldn't send a boring confirmation email, as it wasn't in alignment with his brand, vision, or voice, nor did it properly address the feelings of buyer's remorse. Sivers realized that it's difficult to be in an emotional state of fear, doubt, and uncertainty when you're smiling and laughing. He decided to adopt a philosophy that I encourage all of my clients to incorporate into their business operations. Make the required remarkable. Every company has aspects of its business that are required elements of operation. Confirmation emails, out-of-office autoresponders, contracts, invoices, voicemails, and email signature lines are but some of the required elements of doing business in the modern era. When a company makes required elements remarkable, people start talking. This is particularly true in the affirm phase. Sivers authored the new confirmation email in 1998. By 2011, searching the phrase CD Baby Jet on Google resulted in more than 20,000 hits, each of which represented a thrilled customer raving about this unexpected touchpoint. At the time of this writing, in 2017, a Google search of CD Baby Jet produces more than 2,560,000 results, and the number continues to grow. Here's my quick takeaway. The best way to counter any feelings of buyer's remorse is to confirm the purchase as quickly and accurately as possible. By providing customers with a detailed review of the elements of the purchase, you reassure them that everything is proceeding according to schedule and that things are happening as they would hope and expect. Infusing confirmation messages with the brand spirit reinforces the purchase decision and carries the customer experience past the point of purchase. Don't worry. You can get your money back. A money-back guarantee wipes clean the customer's fear that they will lose their investment. If the decision is in fact changeable in the future, you've just eliminated two major elements of post-decision cognitive dissonance: fear of money loss and fear of ongoing commitment. Increasingly, money-back guarantees and lifelong warranties are becoming the hallmark of reliable and trustworthy brands. Online mattress retailer Casper is so confident you'll love your Casper that you have 100 nights to try it out. If you don't like it, they will come pick it up and give you a full refund. As a bonus, they donate the used bed to a homeless shelter near you, a nice way to provide positive emotional feelings to counter your feelings of regret. When Zappos.com first started selling shoes online, customers were often concerned that the shoes wouldn't fit. From the beginning, Zappos eliminated this fear with its comprehensive and generous return policy. If, for any reason, you are unsatisfied with your purchase, you may return it, in its original condition, within 365 days for a full refund, no questions asked. Zappos will even pay for return shipping. Purchasing a used car can be even more stressful than buying new because you have no idea how the car was driven or cared for by the previous owner or owners. CarMax, the United States' largest used car retailer and a Fortune 500 company, not only offers CarMax quality certified vehicles, but they come with a free vehicle history and safety recall report, as well as a 5-day money-back guarantee. You can drive a car off the lot and return it for up to 5 days with no questions asked and receive a complete refund. Is it possible to eliminate the potential for buyer's remorse permanently? If so, Land's End has probably done it. An American clothing company that specializes in casual clothing, luggage, and home furnishings, Land's End has an extremely liberal return policy. Love it forever or get a refund. And they do mean forever. There is no time limit on when you can make a return. One would think this type of offer would subject Land's End to dishonest people who would purchase an article of clothing, wear it once, and return it for a refund. This is known as wardrobing in the industry. That's not a problem for Land's End. Our customers are incredibly loyal, and we have such strong relationships with our customers that our return rates are really within an industry standard, notes Senior Vice President of Employee and Customer Services, Kelly Ritchie. It is just not a problem. If you have a money-back guarantee or generous return policy, you will want to reiterate that to the customer in the affirm phase. Even if they knew about this policy at the moment of purchase, reinforcing it helps to soothe any rogue feelings of fear, doubt, or uncertainty. It's even better when your customers sing your praises. The importance of counteracting buyer's remorse increases as the overall cost of your product or service increases. It's rare to feel buyer's remorse for purchasing a pack of bubblegum. The more time, money, and effort invested in a purchase, the higher the customer's self-doubt. It is almost universal to feel buyer's remorse when purchasing automobiles and houses. As the cost increases, the affirmation message can remain the same, but shifting to a new messenger can dramatically increase effectiveness. An organization that does a stellar job of countering feelings of buyer's remorse is Cadre, a networking group based in Washington, D.C., founded by husband and wife Derek and Melanie Coburn in 2011. In a city known for its politicians, Cadre is a unique and exclusive networking group in which members pay a monthly fee in order to attend private events designed to help them manage and run their own businesses. Cadre hosts small group trainings on specific business skills useful to any enterprise and large membership-wide educational events featuring top business writers and speakers from around the world. Given that membership in Cadre requires a $3,000 initiation fee, followed by a recurring $499 monthly membership fee, it is important to provide value right after the purchase is made to counter the onset of buyer's remorse. Because the trainings and educational events occur once a month, it could be weeks or even months before a new member experiences a return on investment from their membership dues. This delayed gratification only exacerbates the feelings of buyer's remorse. To counter these emotions and provide value as quickly as possible, all new Cadre members receive a welcome call from the organization after enrolling. Let's be honest, that's somewhat normal. Many companies make welcome calls to thank new customers for signing up. But what is not normal is that the Cadre welcome call doesn't come from the founders of the business, nor does the call come from a member of the Cadre support staff. The new customer welcome call comes from a veteran Cadre member. Early in the company's origins, the Coburns identified a small group of enthusiastic, highly active members and turned them into the Cadre Member Welcome Committee. In full disclosure, I'm an active Cadre member and a proud participant in the Welcome Committee. Immediately after joining the membership, a new Cadre member is introduced by email to a veteran member of the welcome committee. The veteran member welcomes the new member via email and then requests a 20-minute phone call to get to know the new person. During this call, the member of the welcome committee reinforces the multiple benefits of Cadre membership and offers to serve as a resource for any questions or concerns the new member might have. Cadre reinforces the purchase decision in a deep and meaningful way by having a fellow customer explain to the new customer the various nuances of the membership and how to maximize one's return on investment. By separating this welcome call from an operation of the business and making it an activity of a fellow customer, Cadre removes any skepticism the new customer might have about self-serving commentary or an overly salesy communication early in the relationship. In addition, this process quickly introduces a new member to the tribe, fulfilling the human need to belong to a group as discussed in the previous chapter on the benefits of an admission ritual. Any organization that can put its best customers to work promoting the business has the chance to create unique and remarkable experiences for new customers. The typical business relies on written testimonials or will identify a current customer reference as part of the sales process. By incorporating veteran customer feedback as part of the affirm phase, a business not only stands out from the competition, but addresses the new customer's emotional state in a powerful and compelling fashion. The new member welcome call from a veteran cadre member plays an integral part in helping the organization maintain an incredible 90% retention rate on an annualized basis over the last 6 years. Our welcome committee does more to get the relationship officially off to a great start than any other initiative we've tried, notes Derek. Creating these initial connections allows our new members to immediately experience our people and our culture. In doing so, they feel like part of the community before ever attending an official event, which reinforces their decision and increases the likelihood they will continue to be happily paying members. The cadre welcome call equally benefits both participants. The new member is happy to receive the call because they will now know at least one person when attending their first event. The veteran member is happy to make the call because cadre is all about networking and the veteran gets to know a new member who has been vetted by the Coburns as a reliable business contact. Cadre also surprises new members by sending a stack of books written by authors who have spoken at past cadre events. This unexpected present early in the relationship not only creates a surprise and delight moment, but it also reinforces the caliber of cadre event speakers. In doing so, cadre encourages new members to attend future events while subtly reinforcing the organization's commitment to its members' growth and learning. Derek observes, "We started receiving amazing thank you messages from our members when we incorporated this touchpoint into our first 100 days onboarding strategy." Here's my quick takeaway. Turn current customers into evangelists and then use their enthusiasm to counter a new customer's feelings of buyer's remorse. Connecting them with current customers is one of the most effective ways to make new customers feel welcome and confident about their decision. Summary, phase 3, affirm. Creating remarkable customer experiences in the affirm phase. The affirm stage of the customer lifecycle experience begins in the minutes and hours after the purchase and lasts until the first major interaction with the purchased product or service. This phase can last minutes, hours, days, weeks, and sometimes even months. Despite the positive emotions at the moment of purchase, admit, things begin to deteriorate in short order. An underlying current of doubt, which the buyer may not even be aware of, starts to counter any positive feelings. The longer this buyer's remorse goes unmitigated, the faster the customer's anxiety grips their emotions. The quiet zone between the purchase and the delivery of the product or service further exacerbates the problem as the void in communication is filled by the customer's self-doubt. The affirm phase of the customer lifecycle offers you the opportunity to counter the natural feelings of buyer's remorse by reinforcing the purchase decision and reaffirming the elements of the offering that initially contributed to the customer's buying decision. 6 things to do in the affirm phase starting tomorrow. It's important to remember that you don't need to use every communication tool in each phase. Just consider the possibilities of using the different tools to create memorable experiences for the new customer during this phase. In person. Often, the mere presence of a representative from the company can assuage buyer's remorse. Just knowing that someone at the organization cares and is focused on a new customer can provide a level of reassurance that will carry the customer into the next phase feeling good about their purchase. Chapter example. Salespeople who reiterate your generous return policy to customers, like they do at CarMax, help remove any fears or doubts about an investment because the customer knows they can change their mind about the purchase in the future. email. A breaking news third-party testimonial, or case study, offers validation of the purchase decision. When paired with a message noting the customer's wise choice, this email can help mitigate feelings of buyer's remorse. Confirmation emails also help to affirm a purchase decision and give a customer confidence that the order is being processed. Chapter example. A well-written confirmation email, like the one from CD Baby, that captures the brand spirit and makes the recipient smile or laugh, can calm the customer's nerves and give them confidence the purchase is proceeding as planned. A message of excitement from the team to the customer, as the one sent by Book in a Box, reinforces the enthusiasm for working together. Reiterating money-back guarantees, like Casper, no questions asked free returns, like Zappos, and lifelong warranties, like Land's End, reminds customers that they needn't suffer from buyer's remorse because they can always get their money back. Mail. A mailed case study of a similarly situated customer, combined with a personalized note, can show a new customer what is possible now that they are working with your organization. The additional message of, "We hope to have even better results with you," can further reinforce the team's excitement about working with the new customer. Chapter example. A care package, like the one sent by Book in a Box, sets a tone for the relationship, reaffirms the commitment to personal attention, and exhibits a sense of professionalism that instills confidence in a new customer. A box of books from well-regarded experts, like the one sent by Cadre, cements the brand positioning and core values of an organization dedicated to growth and learning. Phone. A call from a senior member of the management team affirms the purchase decision by delivering a "you made the right choice" confirmation paired with a "we care about you at the highest level" sentiment. Chapter example. A call from a veteran customer, like the one placed by Cadre, invites the new customer into the family and begins to foster interactions between existing customers and new customers that will strengthen and increase the overall value of the tribe. A call from the owner, like the one from Book in a Box, helps keep projects moving forward when they are at risk of ending. Video. A brief "Keep the Faith" video can be emailed to new customers between the time they place their order and when the order is received or the service is first delivered. Giving customers visual confirmation of the business's enthusiasm for the new relationship is a great way to reassure them about the decision to do business with you. Chapter example. Personalized and customized handoff videos, like the one sent by Total Debt Freedom, reaffirm the purchase decision and allow the organization to subtly reference some of the key benefits and rationales the customer cited during the sales process in order to justify or explain why the customer needed this specific product or service. Present. By offering a free, unexpected upgrade, faster shipping, free samples, a preview of product before release, etc., you can begin to over-deliver on the customer's expectations. Chapter example. Unexpected gifts and surprises, like those given by Book in a Box and Cadre, create a feeling of joy and delight in a time otherwise marked by fear and uncertainty. This type of bonus is easily factored into the business operations as a pass-through expense without significant bottom-line impact, and yet the perceived value to the customer is tremendous. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the affirm phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. By now you might be thinking, "I'll just skip this part and go to the next chapter." Please don't. I really want the learning to sink in and to set you up for success when it comes to implementing what you've learned. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write 2 or 3 sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better if you did this evaluation 6 months from now. Number 1. What happens during the quiet period between the customer's making a purchase or signing up for your service and your first major interaction? Hint. Don't worry if the answer is, actually nothing. That's what happens in the average business. Yay, you're average. But not for long. Number 2. Describe in detail what happens between the sale and the first interaction. How long does this time period last? What does it feel like? What is the customer really thinking during this time? What are you doing during this time? Number 3. In your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the affirm phase? If so, what are they? Number 4. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the affirm phase? If you don't do anything, the answer you're looking for is 1. Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with 2 or 3 ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. I've said it before, but please don't worry about how much it will cost, who will do it, or how to get it implemented in your organization. Keep dreaming big and being creative with your ideas. Number 1. How can you use in-person interactions during this phase to make the customer feel confident about the decision to give you their hard-earned money? Number 2. How can you use emails to let the customer know you're working behind the scenes and that they are going to see something very soon? Number 3. How can a customized mail piece take a customer from a place of fear, doubt, and uncertainty to a feeling of calm, cool, and collected, knowing that they took the right action? Number 4. How can a phone contact make the new customer feel that they are being taken care of and that you are excited about their business? Number 5. How can videos offer assurance that the customer is going to get what they hoped for when making the purchase? Number 6. What present or presents could you give these customers that would surprise and delight them? Pick 1 now. If you've answered the questions, and I hope you're 3 for 3 now on completing these end-of-chapter questions, you have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the affirm phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number 1. What is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the affirm phase even better? Number 2. Who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number 3. How would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number 4. How would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number 5. How would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From affirm to activate. Now that the customer's decision has been supported in the affirm phase, the time has come to energize the relationship and start things off with a bang. Creating a remarkable experience and spectacle activates the relationship in an energizing, memorable way. Chapter 11. Phase 4. Activate. Here's the overview of the activate phase. The activate phase begins with the first major post-sale interaction with the product or service. The business must energize the relationship and propel it forward with an official kickoff of the relationship. The business also begins to deliver on the promises made during the assess phase. the Laser X10 Super Blaster. Imagine it's early Christmas morning, or the first night of Hanukkah, or any similar holiday that finds children eagerly anticipating their gifts. You're 6 years old. You race into the room to find a large wrapped package with your name on it. You rip off the paper, pull the box apart, and triumphantly raise the Laser X10 Super.